All right, outside Comerica Park for the show on a Thursday. Tigers taking on the Twins, trying to take this series. Feels like keep the momentum up. This is a it's not a huge game. I mean, it's but it's you know I think keeping winning series keeps the guys fired up and makes it feel like they are continuing to climb. So and of course all the division games count a little bit more. So winning this series feels like it would be kind of a big deal. Don't want to overplay it. But I put some premium on today's game, Scott.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yep. all right. Look, we are unaffiliated fans of the NBA Finals. We don't really particularly like either team. My disdain for the Knicks goes back to last year, where they resembled a theatrical troupe in their series against Detroit, and the overall pervasive New York attitude is frustrating. There's all kinds of things to dislike about the New York Knicks. I have a problem rooting for a team that has had as much lottery luck as San Antonio's had. It's not their fault. Can't really blame them, but it is a remarkable fact. In the lottery 10 times, won it 3 times, never moved down in the lottery, have moved up 6 times. In the lottery 10 times, and they moved up 6 times. There's the obvious, which is the 3 times they've won it, every single time there's been a generational player. David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
We've won the lottery here in Detroit, and we got a great player, and it's awesome. They've done that 3 times. 3 times.
Yeah, I mean, well, Pistons also kind of won the lottery when they moved up to number 2 and took Darko.
Blew it, yeah, so, but here's
that. But no, I understand. Yeah, it's there's reason to be upset.
Here's an underrated win: is the year the Pistons went from 1st to 5th, the worst case scenario. That was a year San Antonio moved up to 4th. They got Stephon Castle, who is a great contributing player to their postseason run. Detroit got Ron Holland. Maybe someday. We're not giving up, and I'm not trashing Ron Holland. But that's an underrated, huge San Antonio victory over Detroit. And I don't know that the Pistons would have taken Stephon Castle, but hey, look. So I don't like either team. I'm an unaffiliated fan. But last night was the kind of game that evokes emotion. And Kang back in our studios is pissed today about what happened last night.
Oh, boy.
Kang, you doing okay?
I didn't sleep as well as I thought I would last night, Doug. I actually was upset when the game was turned off. Like, upset. Like, I couldn't believe the emotion that came out of me. Because, you know, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I leaned towards San Antonio when the finals started. But I really didn't care that much, right? Because all the reasons you stated.
Right,
both
right.
teams, okay? But for me, this is a personal thing. Things that have started to bother me since the NBA Finals started. I never loved the Knicks fans, but now they're just obnoxious and uncivilized. Mm. They're attacking and jumping people in Spurs jerseys. They're attacking, you know, cars or whatever, fire, whatever is out there. You know, they're doing all that obnoxious stuff, too. And then speaking of Knicks fans, guys.
Yep.
The celebrities. I already couldn't stand celebrities in general. Just, you know, fake, look at me. But now it's way more look at me. The entitlement, the elite, the privileged celebrity row, sitting down. No, I'm sorry. They're not sitting down because they're always like, look at me. Look at me cheer on the team that
100%.
I love. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, and by the way, Taylor Swift is a Knicks fan now? Or she's showing up at games invading the NBA? Like...
She's been that way, Kang, since 2014.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
Great. Uh-huh. Let's hand out shirts. And
how many games has she been to since 2014?
Yeah. No, she's sitting next to the Law & Order, NCIS, Special Victims, whatever, law and legal people. Okay, enough of that.
Yeah.
And then the former Knick players. How precious of them, Gator. They're all showing up. Like, I'll give certain guys a pass. Like, Bernard King, Walt Frazier, Patrick Ewing, those guys are legends. They're... But the rest of these guys are just journeyman guys that used to play for the Knicks one time that never won anything. It's actually kind of pathetic if you ask me, Gator. Like, they're acting like they are winning a championship. Oh, by the way, they're allowed to get up onto the court, too, by the way, and point out calls and argue with refs. That's precious. And then on this,
well,
I can't believe it. The last thing is...
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Mike Breen, to be honest with you. The guy who's calling the NBA Finals for ABC ESPN.
Yeah.
But this is like George Blaha calling the NBA Finals if the Pistons were in it. He calls the Knicks games during the regular season. And don't tell me he's not just a straight down the middle announcer. Last night, if you were watching the game, he actually used the announcer curse on the free throws to get the Knicks to get back, help them get back in the game. The Spurs were a perfect, I think, 11 of 11 from the line. And he pulled out the, you know, they're perfect from the line right now. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. And then they went on to miss the free throw. He wants the Knicks to win so bad. Don't hide it, Mike, anymore. Bang, double bang. Okay, enough of that. So, yes, these may be just me, okay? I've gone over that. I cannot believe that I feel this way. I didn't think I was going to feel this way, but now four games into it. And on top of that, now I don't like De'Aaron Fox. Sorry. This is like he caught a stray because of how poorly he played in this play in the second half.
Oh, he made some awful decisions. The going to the basket with 13 seconds left and a one-point lead when they could
even run Gronk up. Know you don't do that.
Even Gronk know
you dribble out.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, is anybody with Kang? Like, is this turned into the most annoying series ever in every way?
I feel like I said yesterday on the show that, you know what, I don't like either team, right?
Yep.
I lean towards San Antonio, but I don't really care about this series. I'm just watching it.
Right.
I certainly don't want New York to win. Kang echoed everything that I feel about it. I absolutely now it's now I'm so pissed. The fact that they just piddled away that game last night, a 29-point lead evaporates, and then you still have an opportunity at the end. You're up by one. You've got the ball underneath the Knicks basket with 13 seconds to go. All you have to do is dribble out.
You're playing keep away.
You're
playing keep away.
That's all you're doing.
Yep.
And he's going to try to make the basket?
It's like
watching a football player inside of 2 minutes. Like there's an interception return. He's going for the touchdown, and he goes for the touchdown instead of downing it at the 1 yard line. Or a running back who all you need to do is run out the clock,
right?
Throw out of timeouts, take the knee, but instead they try to take the glory. And it backfires. That's what happened last night. And then when I saw Marik Saharguite get up there and hug OG Anunoby or whoever it was, like, oh, we're all old friends. And, you know, had I not seen a shot of earlier in the series where she gets introduced to him or to one of the other players, oh, I just think you're so good. And I'm like, these people are so freaking privileged. It's unbelievable. I don't want to see these celebrities anymore. And you can't help. You can't swing a dead cat without seeing it. Sorry, I don't mean to take your line, Doug.
That's all right.
But you can't do that without seeing some celebrity. And they keep showing it. Why? I guess ratings. But, I mean, the rest of this country, I'm sure we're all sick of it. I'm ready to put a ban on watching any Adam Sandler movie.
You know, it's funny because what I can't stand is the tycoon fan. The fan that drives the prices up for all the seats and prices the fans out. And I don't have, like, the real fans. I don't have a ton of sympathy for Knicks fans. But I think one of the most hysterical things that have ever happened was the tycoon fan drove up the price of Game 4 tickets. When the Knicks were up 2-0, they skyrocketed. They went through the roof. Why? Because tycoon fan wanted to be there when they clinched the NBA. Then they lose Game 3. Those tickets plummet, absolutely plummet, because now tycoon fan.
Well, I don't want to go now.
Yeah, it'd be. I mean, it. You know, going up 3-1. I only want to be there when they win. Talk about trying to co-op somebody else's success.
And remember how early in the show today I said that? Look, I'm not rooting for my narrative when it comes to the baseball team. I was rooting for my narrative last night, because I had said that I thought the Spurs were going to go and win it in six. Lose the first two and then win the next four. And at halftime last night, I was smiling pretty wide. And then that happens?
Right.
Don't do that.
It's funny, Kang, you bring this up. I'm so mad at the Spurs. I don't even like you to begin with. But early shot clock threes when you're up 20-plus points. Did you see the scoring by quarters by chance?
Yes. First of all, before you mention it, I will say this. The stat was that the San Antonio Spurs had scored the most points at halftime of a visiting team in NBA Finals history. The most.
76, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them.
Then what happened?
Here they are. Here's their scoring by quarters. 41 in the first.
Wow.
35 in the second.
Wow.
14 in the third. 16 in the fourth.
30 points in the second half.
How do you do that, man?
Well, you play the Pistons. That's what the Pistons did to Orlando. They did that to Cleveland. But the Knicks did it to San Antonio after that kind of a start?
Damn it, San Antonio. The monster that they have unleashed in level of annoyance for all the rest of us makes me really mad at the Spurs.
You know what else is emerging for me? Victor Wembanyama is fast becoming my top 10 most hated players in the NBA.
Really? I want to hear more on that. But anyway, what have been your emotions watching this unaffiliated series between two annoying organizations? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson outside Comerica Park. Talked Tigers most of the first hour last night. It was a historic comeback. 29 points down in a must-win game, and the Spurs blow it and unleash the monster that is Knicks mania. Kind of part of being a sports fan is welling up disdain for probably unfair reasons, but good God, what the San Antonio Spurs unleashed last night is going to be a monster of Knick mania coming from 29 down to win game four last night. And it was a dramatic game. I mean, it was an unbelievable game. But man, am I mad at the Spurs. I don't know that I will ever forgive them. I already was annoyed by all their lottery luck. I don't know if I can forgive them for this. This might be a deal breaker in, as far as me and the Spurs organization the rest of my life. There's a great, I'm looking at the feedback coming in. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. There's a great feedback we got here from a listener named Scott that said, in life, I'm personally trying to be less resentful. It's not working. And it may, like, it's probably a good place to be less resentful, but my God. Let's go to Murray in Oak Park. You're on 97.1. Hello, Murray.
Guys, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm so disappointed with the way the NBA is handling things. It sounds like it's all predestinated. The flopping rule.
Like
they're deciding how it's going to finish.
Well, how do they decide that San Antonio was going to go ice cold and play the way they did in the second half? Or how do they decide that San Antonio was going to be red hot in the first half and build up a 29-point lead?
Well, the flopping rule can add to that.
Do you think that's what happened last night?
I'm sure it had something to do with the score. And also, do they have a bona fide legal document that says that there's flopping in the NBA?
Is there a bona fide legal document? First of all, I hope so. I love the theory that there might be a bona fide legal document that confirms
it. If they don't enforce it, how is it a flopping?
Well, you're right. They need to start enforcing it, and I think Adam Silver needs to address the problem. But I'll say this, and I didn't expect us to get a flopping call coming out of last night's game. I will tell you this. You are not alone in believing that the NBA has this whole thing scripted out. I think the NBA would prefer it to go seven games and have the Knicks win in seven. But
was last night something where you think the NBA turned things around?
I'm not sure. The only thing they could do is whistle the game differently and give the Knicks the benefit of the doubt in the comeback. That's the only part of that could have been scripted or manipulated by the league.
Otherwise, it'd be blatant point shaving by San Antonio. And if you thought that's what happened last night, then I guess, okay. I mean, there were some strange things.
Just say the Spurs contributed more to that than I think the league possibly could have, because the Spurs aren't going to be compliant. Oh, you want to let the Knicks back in the game? Sure. We'll help with that. No, that's the last thing.
YOLO.
But it did feel like early three-pointers. The numbers on the Spurs, they went 14 of 16 from their three.
Weed.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. And then they went, wow.
Welcome to Detroit.
They Contact buzz incoming. They went 14 of 16 from three and then went 3 of 17 after that.
3 of 17?
3 of 17.
That's not good.
No. 248-539-9797. Murray, thanks for the call. Unnamed texter, at the beginning of this series, I kind of wanted the Knicks to win because it's been forever since they won a title. But after seeing Knicks fans in the street attacking Spurs fans, shows me exactly why they don't deserve one. I'm not a big fan of painting fan bases with one giant brush, that they're all the same. And that I like to think there'd be great Knicks fans out there that have suffered through the years that you can sort of sympathize with. I really need to meet some of those people before I get into a very dark place.
I understand.
You guys made me hate the Spurs, so I've been rooting for the Knicks. Now I'm conflicted. Thanks, guys. Well, look, I've gone from finding the Spurs' luck in the lottery to be annoying to a flat-out point where they've unleashed a beast. And for that, I don't know if I will ever forgive them.
Well, I've turned on Wembanyama. I don't don't like what I've seen from him. He's a foul baiting guy right now. He's young and he's got a chance to grow for sure, but he's frustrated by the way the Knicks are guarding him, and now he's being more demonstrative and more dramatic, and I just don't like it. I find it really odd and strange that the guy is 7'5" and can just own the rim area. You know, doesn't really rebound all that well. Although he had 13 rebounds last night. That's great. But I don't know how many times he's had double-digit rebounds in this series or even going back to the last round. I'm getting frustrated as a fan watching, and I don't like the Knicks, and I'm blaming this guy for letting the Knicks do what they're doing. I should love Victor Wembanyama, I think, and yet I do not. You know, I can respect his Hydra ability on defense, but I don't like what I'm seeing offensively.
Kang, how you feel about Wemby?
I think, Gator, you might be mad at Wemby because they're blowing the series. You know what I mean? I can respect that. I actually like Wemby as a whole because I think, I've said it before, the guy came into the league and he wanted to try right away. When everyone else wanted to dog it, especially in the All-Star game, he brought it and forced other players to try. With Wemby, he is super young and he's still learning and growing. And the whole Spurs team, honestly, is super young. And that's why they've made some of these horrific mental mistakes at end of games where they should have won. So I understand what you're saying, but I'm giving him a lot of grace just because of how young he is. He's not even from this country. I think he will get better. A lot of guys fall down in the league now. It is just the way it is. I mean, Joel Embiid won an MVP and all he did was like hit the ground, and he's 7'1", you know, like 270 pounds. So Wemby is a stick out there, and I think a lot of falling down for him, Gator, is avoiding injury, because if he doesn't fall down the right way, he could be done for this season, for a career, the way his body is
built.
Yeah, maybe. You know? I've just had a little bit. I've had enough of the baby giraffe. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Imagine and then put him on ice, essentially, with all these like athletic guys that are way smaller than him, running around him. Alvarado tried to take a one-legged takedown on him yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. Like, that was ridiculous. So he's going to hit the ground probably more than you would like, but I think he's such a weird body frame that it's going to happen.
Is it a weird body frame?
Do they call him an alien for a reason?
Unnamed texter says, I agree 100% with Kang. The Knicks fans and all the celebs, it's making me sick. I usually don't care about basketball unless it's the Pistons, but go Spurs.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to watch a Seinfeld rerun. I don't want to see a Sandler movie. I'm not going to watch, you know, CSI of any kind. I just, and I'm already out on Taylor Swift anyway, so it's annoying as hell. Like, let's go to a crowd shot. Instead of showing, you know, average Joe fan, they're going to have to focus on the front row, celebrity row.
Let me ask you a question. If one of those celebrities, because there's one there that I very much love his work. I mean, love his work. And I know that he would schedule shooting around Knicks games forever. Mm. Is that guy get some break? Because he's been there. He seems to be very authentic.
Look, I get that they can be fans, and I just – are you talking about Ben Stiller?
Yes. Ben Stiller.
I like Ben Stiller, and I want to like Ben Stiller, but here's what I want. I want them not to show Ben Stiller. focus more on Spike Lee, and I can but Spike Lee's the same thing. He's
Spike's
a massive,
been there. He's been there forever.
He's been there, and he's done that. But also, but Spike Lee also thinks he's part of the team and goes on the court and all that. And if you were an average Joe fan who spent $15,000 in that seat and you try to do the same thing, you'd get tackled to the hard foot, you know?
Okay, let's let the people in on a secret, because we're going to have a very important rock, paper, scissors match right now. Where we broadcast from, we're probably a quarter mile from the closest restroom. And we both got to go.
Do you think it's possible that they would let us run through here?
No. I think what we're about to do is one of us during the commercial break is going to get to make that dash. We both have critical mass situations going on.
Yeah.
We're going to go rock, paper, scissors right now. Winner gets to go. Loser has to wait till next commercial break. Okay?
All right. Let me just stand up and get ready to move.
Those of you watching on camera can watch this critical rock, paper, scissors. You ready to go, my friend?
Yeah.
So it's 1, 2, 3, shoot, correct?
Yeah.
All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, shoot. 1, 2, 3, shoot. Scissors of Doug cuts Gator's paper. I will be back, hopefully in time for the next segment. In the meantime, the Mad Dash is on.
Where are you going to run to? You're going there?
Yeah, I'm going there.
Because I was
going
to try around the corner. But
were you?
Yeah.
Well, you
No, you go ahead. Go for it. Do what you got to do.
All right. We'll see if I make it back before the end of the commercial
Let's
break.
Let's hope.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
As I look to the north, I see a man sprinting to get back. He looks like he's light on his feet. Doug Karch is making his way. He's taking some fist bumps. And now he is jumping back up on the stage. You made it, but 20 seconds late, but it's okay. I don't know if you're going to be happy about what I have to say or upset with what I'm about to say.
Is there a restroom right by here somewhere?
Well, I was I talked to some people over here in security, and they have confirmed that, yes, they would let us in right there to do what we have to do.
Awesome.
How's your body feel now after?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, can you hang on for a sec? Just a quick sec.
Yeah, yeah. Do what you got to do. I've been there. I know what you're saying. Look, it happens when we're on remote. This is one of the things we have to worry about. We concern ourselves with is, okay, if there's a situation that arises, and, you know, this is a number one situation.
Yeah, it is a number one situation. Yeah. Thank you.
So, anyway, let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Jay is in White Lake. Jay, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
What's up?
Man, you sound winded, brother, but you made it. Wow. We got a runner. I loved Kane's rant. Kane, that was awesome. If you can hear me, I thought you were going to throw a chair. It was great. But here's the weird thing for me is, as much as I agree with every single thing you said, I think I hate the Spurs more.
Wow. Yeah, for blowing that game.
Well, let me tell you what. Well, yeah, I'm so sick of Wembanyama. He's everybody's been drooling all over him all season. He's an alien. He's not an alien. You know what he is? He's one of those 15-foot blow-up guys with the blower motor under him that you see out in front of an appliance store during their grand opening. Yeah. That's what he is. And, you know, Castle and his hair looks like somebody dumped a bowl of Skyline chili over him and let it dry. Like, they drive me crazy just watching them. They're so annoying. And I never thought, yeah, I've been calling you guys forever, and I, you know, all the disdain, the venomous hate I have for Patrick Mahomes. And there's Taylor Swift on the floor. And it still doesn't even upset me as much as watching the Spurs. It's blowing my mind that I feel that way, but I can't get away from it. Well, so I've been hate watching this whole series.
It's hard, man, because I mean now I'm so mad at the Spurs for blowing that.
I've never seen anything like that.
To give up a 29-point lead, okay? We need to file away how bad the Knicks were, because someday the Pistons, I'm assuming, not a safe assumption, I hope the Pistons are in this situation to play in the NBA Finals. These are the two best teams in the NBA. The Knicks at the beginning of Game 3 turned the ball over more carelessly than I think Cade ever did. For like a five-minute stretch to open Game 3, and I'm like, okay, remember that. The best players on the best teams in the league are turning the ball over. It's not a total indictment. You can't win with Cade when Cade does it, because these teams are winning at an NBA Finals level. And then when a team like the Spurs, which dethroned Oklahoma City, so they're obviously legit, blowing a 29-point lead is unbelievable. And we here in Detroit don't have to deal with our team blowing a 29-point lead. But it's important to file these things away, because someday I think we're going to be there, right?
Well, I mean, we obviously, the Pistons came back from a massive deficit to destroy the hopes and dreams of Orlando. And the NBA, this is not – what's new is it happens in the finals. It was 29 points.
Well, it's the biggest ever in the finals history.
And late in the game. That's the new part.
Yep.
What's not new is teams come back from being down 20 all the time. Happens. If you get a 20-point lead in the first half, it's not safe. There's way too much basketball to be played to finish things off. And what happened last night, though, I mean, when 76 points at halftime and 30 afterwards?
Yep.
That's insane, the drop-off.
30 points in the second half. Total of 30 points.
That's being truly committed to losing that game, to score only 30 after you scored 76 in the first half.
With 3 minutes and 6 seconds to go in the first half, the Spurs were leading the game 71-42. The final score, 107-106. They had 71 points with 3 minutes to go in the first half, and they finished with 106. It was like they were playing shorthanded. They were playing 4-on-5 the rest of the game. How do you only score 106 points?
35 points in 27 minutes. It's amazing. DJ is in Detroit. DJ, welcome to 97.1. What's up, DJ?
What up, though, fellas? So,
DJ,
check this out. I have so many mixed emotions about this, because I try to stay logical all the time, but my personal feeling, I just really feel like the NBA pulled the hocus pocus and gave Wimmy the pot when he was retiring. But let's get away from that. But that's that emotion. Looking at Wimby play, man, and then the Detroiter, let's stay with this. The Detroiter and me can never root for the New Yorks or LAs or Bostons of the world, because we're a medium to small market team, and I always think we just get pushed to the side by them big market teams. So I can never root for the big market teams. But to go to Wimby, what you guys said, he's literally this generation's modern Wilt Chamberlain. Like, he can do things that no other basketball player can, because they're not 7'5". People are not even going to relate to Wimby because he's 7'5". But here's my thing, fellas, and this is what I've been telling everybody in the sports world. He doesn't even know how good he really can be, because he makes the game too hard for himself. If Wimby literally stood in front of the rim 20 times a game and shot a jump hook, who's going to stop it, fellas? Literally. In the middle of that run, when they scored a 71, if Wimby came out in the first half and just got in front of that rim and shot baby hooks, who gonna stop it? But
every time I see him take a shot outside the paint, I feel like unnecessary.
Right,
it's unnecessary.
It's impressive he can shoot three pointers.
That should be emergency break class. End of the shot clock. And in the end of game two, he took a bunch of shots. And DJ's right, a bunch of shots away from the basket that were unnecessary. Like, they had to, because they needed buckets, but they should have him. He shouldn't be anywhere further than 3-4 feet away from the hoop.
And I get it, guys, because I coach high school basketball at Detroit Debson now, so I understand the thinking of these young kids. He want to cross over. He want to look sweet. He want to show he got a bag. But at the end of the day, man, it's still just simple, you know, mathematical. I'm bigger than all of y'all. I'm taller than all of y'all. I'm just going to go and shoot this hook and just call it a day so I can go win. but he doesn't understand that. If he, go ahead.
It's for him. I was just going to say, for him, it's like, because he's so much bigger than anybody else, it's like being a big brother to somebody and playing Nerf hoop in your bedroom, right? You're not taking outside shots in Nerf hoop. Everything is around the rim. And when you're 8 inches taller than your little brother, you're just owning him. That's what it should be for him.
Yeah. Would you two guys kind of literally agree with the analogy? He's this generation's Wilt. Like, he's the equivalent of those guys in the 60s playing Wilt.
There's probably a direct comparison of that's how different he is and that's how different Wilt was. The first time I heard it, I'd probably want to workshop it a little bit, curate the idea, give it some thought, but you might be right. I think there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, but part of that, too, is coaching, guys. And their coach, by the way, is also very young. He's 39 years old. We talk about the team being like the second youngest team ever in the NBA Finals. Their coaches, I don't know the exact stat, but he's got to be one of the youngest coaches ever to coach in the NBA Finals as well. And part of Wemby and them not closing out these games is, do you know how bad you have to be physically and mentally and how many mistakes you have to make to give up a 29-point lead in the NBA Finals at halftime? Like, the Knicks give them credit, but the Spurs messed up so many times. It doesn't matter. You don't have to win by 29. You got to win that game, though. And they blew it with so many mental mistakes.
So the question is, moving forward, is how much damage that does to the Spurs short-term and maybe even long-term. Like, that's in their head now. That's part of their permanent record.
I mean, they're down 3-1. And I think a lot of us would agree, okay, it's must-win territory here.
I think we'd all agree with that.
It's not that part. The part is, with it being must-win territory, now is the time. Like, let's stop screwing around. Throw it inside to the big fella and let him cook. Inside. But make sure that he's cooking inside and not – floating outside again.
I look at this from my own perspective. I'm so mentally weak that, honest to God, this would hang with me forever. And that's the only thing that separated me from being a professional athlete was my mentally weak. Yeah. Okay, so let me get this right. I sprinted there and back.
That's right.
And you just have to go through that door.
Hopefully.
Now it's your turn. Good luck, my friend.
Thanks, brother.
He gets it right almost every time. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Now I'm mad.
Why?
You okay? Was that nice and leisurely? No sprinting?
No. There was some hustle. Did I sprint? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, my sprinting days are done.
No, all good. We discovered something, though, that we don't have to run all the way over to Hockey Town Cafe down into the basement and back upstairs. If we have to go, there's a door just to our left, and they will let us in. How long have we been doing shows down here? We've done hundreds.
We've done a lot.
Now, you pointed out, we played golf yesterday, sweltering heat. Both of us were pounding waters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the first time we've had this situation.
And I kept pounding water when I got home. Yeah. So.
Okay, so Kang had mentioned the series, the cacophony of mistakes that San Antonio had to make to allow the Knicks even an opportunity to come back and win that game. And the Knicks made a bunch of plays. But San Antonio's mistakes contributed to it greatly. On the last bucket, Dylan Harper, rookie, is guarding someone in the corner. But when Jalen Brunson takes that first shot, he runs to the basket, and he's ball watching. Now, if you watch the difference between what he's doing, he's watching the ball, and you watch what Stephon Castle does. When that shot from Brunson goes up, Stephon Castle turns, targets a Nick, back to the basket, starts to box out, and then turns and looks, completely sealed off the Nick. Dylan Harper's ball watching, watches that ball sail up, hit the rim, pays no attention to Ananobi, who's coming in from midcourt because he was the inbounder, who flies right past a flat-footed Dylan Harper to tip it up and in. Now, it wasn't his man, but Stephon Castle did it exactly right. And Dylan Harper, it's a play. If I were in film later, I'm like, dude,
The end of that game is so frustrating if you want San Antonio to win.
Yep.
Like we do.
Yep.
You have before that. There's 13 seconds to go. They've got all of a sudden they steal the ball. They've got it and
De'Aaron Fox.
Fox tries this layup and where he's being guarded by two guys and a third guy coming over instead of using his great asset. His number one asset to me is his speed. This is why I love De'Aaron Fox is because he's fast as hell.
Yeah, he's playing keep away.
That's all he's got to do.
It becomes
sprint
a game
all the way down,
it,
and instead of taking a shot and knowing that everybody's going to go up and try to block it, turn around.
Ananobi, like he's
pivot.
It's a game of tag at that point because Ananobi's just going to try and touch him and get
sure.
a foul, and maybe he kills another 2-3 seconds. But he kills 2-3 seconds. Then if he makes both free throws, they're going to call timeout inbound from midcourt, and you can. You can foul before they get a three off.
Yes, so this is what's annoying because they had that play, right? But, hey, they still have the lead. And and then that the play you described before because they don't box out, he gets the tip in. Now there's still 1.2 to go. And as they were pointing out in the broadcast, you got a lot of things you can do, particularly when you got a guy who's 7'5", and they don't. I don't know if the ball got tipped, if the inbounds pass got tipped or what, but and then the Spurs player can't, hang on to it cleanly and doesn't even get off a shot. The ball, he loses the ball before, as he's going up to try to shoot it. It was just a horrific series of events, and it's a nightmare for the Spurs to live through because instead of being even at two, going back home to take command of this lead, of this series, now your back's against the wall. You're down 3-1, and the Knicks are playing with a ton of confidence. And, oh, by the way, they know damn well they can beat you in San Antonio because they've done it not once but twice already in this series.
Well,
Kang, anything else to add?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, guys, the ball was tipped, and here's where inexperience showed up again for the Spurs. So the De'Aaron Fox thing, obviously he should have just dribbled out the ball when Ananobi's that close. And although he's like the veteran of this team, he has no experience playing in big games and finals, though, and it showed on that point. Situational awareness, zero on that. But going back to more inexperience that cost him, Dylan Harper, the rookie, was inbounding the ball, okay? One, I know the NBA is never going to change this, but they got to let the players have room on the sidelines when they're trying to inbound the ball. The celebrities, whoever's sitting there, you got to back off, okay? So he probably had less room than you should have had. Two, when you have a rookie inbounding the ball, I don't know why Mitch Johnson didn't tell him this, or maybe he did. They knew the play, obviously. The play would have worked. He needs to pump fake outside no matter what just to get Cat thinking the ball is going to go outside the three-point line and then throw the lob, at least to give yourself a better chance to throw that lob. Because if you look, the play was going to work. Stephon Castle got open. Everyone thought the ball was going to go to Wemby because he's 7'5". That wasn't the play. So since the ball got tipped, Castle couldn't get control of the ball. All chaos with 1.whatever second is left. They weren't going to get a shot off. The play was there. Harper... he needed to pump fake outside, then throw the lob. But instead, Cat timed the throw perfectly, got a hand the ball, game over. Just more inexperience from the Spurs. They gave that game away.
248-539-9797. Kevin in East Point is next on 97.1. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Yeah, first off, I want to say that caller is talking about Wemby and Castle and the Spurs. He don't know nothing about basketball. So he needs to.
What did he say to refresh us as to which caller you're referencing?
He's talking about, I don't like Castle hair. I don't like Wemby all the way he does this. He gets on my – Wemby is a generational talent. Nothing is wrong with Castle.
Well, he may or may not be. That. Like, you do understand that there are generational talents that people in Detroit won't like. Did people like Jordan?
You're right. So, and that goes to my point. Everybody keeps talking about, well, the Spurs are this and that. LeBron didn't win. Jordan didn't win. They're still young. He's going to win. They're going to be all right. And they got it on the end and fall back. So another thing falls back on at the end of the game. The coach should have called a timeout. De'Aaron Fox dribbling the ball, got down there, called a timeout. It's just a bunch
of
errors.
You're trying to kill clock there, and then you have to inbound it. I mean, in retrospect, it's better than what De'Aaron Fox did. But De'Aaron Fox has to know. He's got to know. You don't take that shot.
Well, it's one thing to not have experience in the big games, right? I get that. But it's not like he doesn't have NBA experience or basketball experience. How many games do you have to play before you understand it? Hey, end of the game, I got to dribble it out. How many games you played? Dribble it out.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Jim on a cell. You're next. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, I agree with the caller a few calls ago about hate watching this. I'm pulling for each home team to lose in excruciating fashion, but I also have disdain for Wemby, and he to me is like he's awesome. I have to say that, and I hated Chelios until he became a Red Wing as well. But I can't stand him, and he's like a 15-year-old kid that's never been told no. When things are going well, he's smirking and doing things, and when things go wrong, he disappears. I mean, but he's got me rooting for Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know who I am anymore watching this series. It's a real it's a real struggle.
Yeah, Jim, I get where you're coming from. He's
got
me rooting for
Karl Anthony
Towns. Yeah, yeah. In some ways, it's unforgivable what he's done to you, isn't it?
I don't know if I'll ever recover, to be honest. I'm really struggling with this. I got to talk to somebody about it. That's why I called.
That's a valid point. Hey, I don't know if we can help, but perhaps you schedule an appointment with a therapist. Don't get into self-loathing here. I think we all battle that a little bit.
Yeah, it's okay. So here's the deal, guys. You're going to get up by near 30 points at halftime. You're going to be historic at halftime with the amount of points you score. But we want you to tank in the second half.
We'd prefer if you completely humiliated yourselves.
Right.
Got it? Cool.
Right. I mean, I'm all for a good conspiracy. I think they're fun. The flopping thing is a big problem. I hate it, but both teams are doing it. Flopping is, and we had somebody suggest that flopping was part of the conspiracy. No, the flopping wasn't what was going on in the second half last night. The Spurs played strange basketball last night. Not working the clock. Early 3-point shots, as you said. Some horrific turnovers that they had. It just ugly basketball in the second half.
All right, if you missed what AJ Hinch said about pinch hitting this morning, it's good. We'll play it next hour on 97.1.